Dr. Sharon Livingston, and I'm here with Lisa Anderson of a company called A Proven Product. So, Lisa, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm terrific, and I guess I wanted to let people know, first of all, that I'm a researcher. I've been doing research on supplements and pharmaceuticals for my whole career, for large corporations, for small corporations, and for public groups. That's why I'm particularly interested to be talking to you today, Lisa, about some very interesting news that you have for us. And Lisa, just tell us a little bit about A Proven Product.
Okay, A Proven Product started in 2008. Our CEO, Joe, and his wife, Julie, were frustrated. They are like a lot of us, health conscious. They want to do what's best for their bodies. They want to take supplements that are the best. They don't want to waste money. They don't want to take things that aren't going to be good for them and aren't going to get the effect that they want. And they were really frustrated with that. They were having a very hard time finding the best products. It's just a confusing, murky world to have to dive into, especially if you go online to try to search. Everybody's screaming at you. There's scams everywhere. Out of that frustration was born A Proven Product. So they started the website as a way to kind of share what they had found. The idea behind the company is that we do the research. We stay abreast of all the current science and all of that because nobody has time to. And we pick one product in any given category and we recommend that. So that way there's no nagging question about is this better or is that better. That's kind of it in a nutshell. That's what we do.
I just love Joe's mission. I think it is really fantastic, and I only interview people that I can stand behind. So I'm very excited to be talking to you today because in the research I've done over the years, I've learned that there is a lot of misinformation. Even doctors don't really know what's going on. With all the HMO stuff now, they don't have the time
right.
to do all the research, and they're just going by what they learn as much as they can, but they can't keep abreast of everything. They just can't.
Well, quite honestly, it's been my full-time job for nearly a year now, and it is a full-time job. It's my 40-hour work week to do this, and no one, unless that happens to be what you're being paid for to make a living, no one has time to do this. And most of the really good information is so buried because if you're not part of the big pharmaceutical companies that are paying the lobbyists, your study doesn't get out. And it's finding the unbiased information is really hard. You really have to dig because it just doesn't get publicized.
We're going to be doing a series of podcasts on the issues around calcium at the moment. And this will be the first. And it was quite an eye-opener to read what you had collected. I mean, you are kidding me.
I know, right? That's the reaction I had the whole time I was digging. I just could not believe what I had dug up.
Well, we're keeping people waiting. So what did we dig up?
Okay, well, let's get started with this. When you talk about calcium supplements, you're pretty much talking in relation to osteoporosis, right? Osteopenia and then osteoporosis is the more severe form. Osteoporosis was first defined in 1984. It's been around, but in 1984, the National Institute of Health met, and the idea was to kind of define this problem and what exactly does it mean? How do you know that you have it? At that time, when they had their conference, they said that there were 1.3 million fractures every year related to osteoporosis, and that's the main problem that you get when you have osteoporosis. That's where it can endanger your life if you have a fracture, especially of the hip or the spine or anything like that. So their recommendation then in 1984 was take calcium supplements and weight-bearing exercise. So immediately the calcium supplement market exploded. It's gone from $166 million a year to 2009 are the last numbers that I could find, and we in America are spending $1.2 billion every year on calcium supplements.
It's like nine times the amount, something like that, right?
Right.
Oh, my God.
So in 27 years and billions of dollars later, what has changed, right? You would expect that the number of fractures due to osteoporosis to have declined at least, right, somewhat. Instead, now, according to the National Osteoporosis Foundation, there are over 2 million fractures related to osteoporosis every year in America.
That is just huge.
Right.
I mean, how could that be? It should have gone down somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And even in percentage to population proportions, it still has gone up. Isn't that right?
Right. If you do the numbers on what the total population of America was in 1984 versus now, At that time, 0.5% of all Americans, men, women, children, babies, of all of us, 0.5% of us were having an osteoporosis-related fracture every year in 1984. Today, 0.7. It's gone from 0.5% of us to 0.7% of us, of all of us, men, women, children, babies, all of us.
That's outrageous.
It is outrageous. Something's not working. And so that's kind of what led us into digging into this more. Unfortunately, that's not the biggest problem that comes from all of this. 1984 was also the first year that more women than men died from heart attacks. It seems like a completely unrelated statistic until you dig further. That number has continued to grow, by the way. Today, over 515,000 women every year, women in America, die from heart disease, heart attacks, heart problems, right? Today, women are 15% more likely than men to die of a heart attack. Now, what has changed since 1984 is we've all started taking loads of calcium supplements. Now, in 2008, a study came out. In this study, for 5 years, the scientists had studied postmenopausal women, and they gave them either Citrical calcium supplements, the name brand Citrical, or a placebo for 5 years.
Sugar pill.
Right. So at the end of 5 years, they looked back over how many women had had heart issues, how many women had died, how many women had had strokes, how many women had whatever problem. In the Citrical group, 31 women reported having 45 heart attacks in the Citrical group, okay? In the placebo group, however, only 14 women reported 19 heart attacks. The group taking Citrical had more than double the heart attacks.
Wow. Oh, that gives me the chills. That is really, really frightening.
It is. Like, why? How could this be? We'll get into that in a minute, but first I want to say the same researchers, they were really taken aback by this. They were really shocked. So they did more studies. They did a meta-analysis over the following 2 years, and in 2010 they released their findings. And what a meta-analysis is, they take a bunch of other studies that were studying some other thing. Like, they took a bunch of studies that where they were studying what effect calcium supplementation had on fractures or had on bone density. They went back and looked at the data for something else, and they looked at the data of all these other studies to see how many women had heart attacks and had strokes and had cardiovascular issues. In this case, they discovered that women taking a calcium supplement had 31% more risk of having a heart attack while they were taking the supplement than women who did not.
What do you say to that? I mean, it's become like common knowledge that you get past a certain age, you got to take calcium. Maybe you should be taking calcium your entire life. I mean, we've been taught that as women for as long as I can remember.
And it's true, we do. I mean, it is something that is very vital to your body, and you cannot get enough through your diet. You just cannot. I mean, unless you want to be sucking down milk all day and eating nothing but cheese and yogurt, you're just not going to get enough, and your body doesn't absorb it as well from diet either.
Definitely not from milk. I mean, maybe eating 5 to 10 pounds of broccoli a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who could do
that.
I mean, your stomach would be so bloated, it would be unbelievable.
It's just not going to be good for you. The researchers said that there is a very good reason for it. The problem with calcium is, if you can imagine, when you take a calcium supplement, you're putting, calcium is a mineral, right? So it's almost like it's a rock, is another way to look at it. So when you take a calcium supplement, you've basically got this sand kind of substance that's going into your body. It's kind of difficult to get it even absorbed from your intestines into your bloodstream. That's the first hurdle it has to jump. If you don't, it just comes out as waste. You're just wasting your money, basically, and it's not doing you any good. Or if it makes it from your intestines into your bloodstream, now you've got this kind of sandy stuff in your bloodstream, and unless it makes it to your bones, it winds up kind of settling like sediment in your arteries. And what happens is that hardens your arteries, and that is why it increases your risk of a heart attack, because it's not being utilized by your body to build your bones.
So it's clogging your arteries.
Exactly. And part of the problem is you may go to the doctor and have the scan and have your arteries checked. It doesn't show up. On women, this kind of plaque, when men develop plaque in their arteries like that, it shows up as globs, and it shows up on the test. Women, for some reason, we just don't develop globs of plaque. It's kind of evenly distributed, and it kind of lines the arteries so that it doesn't show up on tests. And it's really scary. No notice whatsoever. You're just driving down the road one day, and bam, you have a heart attack, and you had no clue. And most of the women who have heart attacks, for whatever reason, it comes completely out of the blue. They say, I had no clue I had any kind of problem. There was no indication. Just bam, it came out of the blue.
Very frightening. Meanwhile, what are the effects on osteoporosis? We're seeing what?
We're seeing more and more. The rates of osteoporosis continue to skyrocket. They're saying 34 million of us are at danger of having it. By the year 2020, it's estimated that half of everyone over the age of 50, that's men and women, will have osteoporosis.
So what do you do?
Well, what you need to do is take a calcium supplement that makes it from the pill to your bone.
But bisphosphonates, whatever you call those, bisphosphonates, what are those things?
Oh, the like Boniva and Fosamax and all of those?
And, yeah. What about
yeah.
those?
Those are kind of scary, too. Millions of women have been taking those on a long-term basis at this point. In the early 90s, the World Health Organization met, and this was when bone density scanning first became available.
Mm-hmm.
They met in Rome, and the idea there was they wanted to define a number that meant osteoporosis on your bone density test, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because up until this point, the test wasn't available, so now we have a number, so we need to decide at what number do we call you having osteoporosis. So they bickered back and forth, and according to people who were there, there wasn't really air conditioning in the room where they were meeting. I've seen two or three different scientists who were there say this. It kind of came down to an arbitrary thing. They argued back and forth, and finally someone just stood up and drew a line and said, okay, this is the point at which we're going to call you having osteoporosis. It was 2.5 points below what is normal for a 30-year-old woman, because at 30, we all start losing bone density. 30 years is the age when it happens to all of us, okay? Some of us lose it more quickly than others. Some of us lose it very slowly, but we all begin to lose bone density at the age of 30. So at 2.5 points below what is normal for a 30-year-old woman, they say you have osteoporosis. So somebody raised their hand and say, you know, they said, okay, that sounds good. So somebody raised their hand and say, okay, well, what do we call the people in between normal and osteoporosis when we're doing our research? Because we just need a shorthand way to refer to that. And so someone said, well, how about we call it osteopenia? That's okay, that sounds good. And it was never meant to be a disease at that point. It was only meant to be a category for their research papers, okay? Go back to Merck. Merck is the one that developed the whole bisphosphonate category of drugs, okay? Merck had a drug called Fosamax. It was the first one, and it was the first one that didn't use hormone replacement to try to rebuild your bones. So they were very excited about it. If you have severe osteoporosis, it could probably genuinely help you, okay, if you have a very severe problem. However, not a lot of women had that very severe problem at that time, and no one was getting the bone density scan to discover that they had it, so they weren't prescribing very much Fosamax. At that point in time, the only way to have a bone density scan, there was a huge machine, there were only a couple hundred of them in the entire country, so you had to drive somewhere, you had to pay for it out of pocket, you had to lay out on this huge machine, and they x-rayed your hip and spine.
Right.
And it was expensive, and insurance didn't cover it, and so that was the only way to get diagnosed with osteoporosis and therefore be prescribed Fosamax. So Merck set about changing this. They discovered that there were peripheral machines, which is what you probably get now when you go to the doctor, and they can scan your wrist or your ankle or something like that, and they can kind of get an idea of your bone density. Well, the problem is that isn't really accurate, because if you break your wrist because you have osteoporosis, well, it's a pain, but that's not really life-threatening. What's life-threatening is when you fall and break your hip.
Such a large percentage of people do not survive a hip fracture.
You have only a 15% chance of being able to walk unaided 6 months after you fall and break your hip. It changes your life forever if you survive. A good chunk of people who have those, have that hip fracture, do not live.
And
they die within the next year.
Some of that is because they don't want to. They give up their excitement about living when they can no longer function, and they just wither away.
Exactly. And then there are all kinds of complications that come from it. There's lots of reasons, but it's a high percentage. But yeah, I mean, all of a sudden you had a wonderful retirement plan, but bam, you're stuck in a wheelchair. You can't walk. What are you going to do? Some people, that's devastating. obviously it's devastating for anybody, but some people just don't bounce back mentally.
Well,
from
a large
something
percentage
like that.
Of them. I know so many friends whose mothers and grandmothers had that happen to them, and within
mm-hmm.
a year they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely devastating. Scanning your wrist or scanning your heel doesn't really accurately determine whether you're at risk for that, right? However, doctors can buy the machine that scans your wrist and scans your heel a lot cheaper than they can buy the full-blown machine that they had in the early 90s, right? Merck set about getting those machines, the peripheral machines, in every doctor's office in America, and they went on this huge campaign. They lobbied the manufacturers. The manufacturers were very resistant because of the fact that it's not as accurate a test. So Merck went and bought one of the companies just so that they could make the price low, just so that they could get them mass-produced, just so that they could get them in every doctor's office. And once that happened, they sold the company and broke it up, just so that they could do this. Meanwhile, they set about getting a lower dose of Fosamax approved to treat the new disease called osteopenia. Okay? Now, remember, osteopenia isn't even a disease. It's just something that the
classification that was arbitrarily decided on.
Exactly, that these scientists who just wanted to get out of the hot room and get some dinner came up with just so that they could leave, you know? And that's what they say. Merck got Fosamax approved to treat osteopenia. They got the peripheral machines in every doctor's office in America. And now what happens? Every woman loses bone density from the time they're 30. What happens at some point in time between the time you're 30 and the time you die, what are the chances that you're going to have a bone density scan that says you fall in that osteopenia category? They're pretty darn good. Therefore, all of these women who probably really didn't have an issue are now on Fosamax, Boniva, Actonel. They're on one of these drugs. I had kind of always thought that your bones were created when you were little and they're there. They're made of bone and that's it.
When you hit your height, then you've got your bone and that's it. It never changes.
Right, but actually they constantly turn over. They're living tissue just like everything else in your body. And
which makes sense.
It does. And so what happens is they're constantly being kind of broken down and rebuilt. As you get over 30, what happens is you start to break down a little more than you rebuild. And that's why everyone loses bone density. So bisphosphonates stop the bone from breaking down so that it doesn't remodel, they call it. Now your bones are just dead tissue. They're static. So what happens is they get denser, but they're not growing. They're not living tissue anymore, and so they get more brittle. So now they're having problems, and there's class action lawsuits, because women are having a different kind of fracture. They're fracturing their upper thigh, their femur there. That's just as devastating as a hip fracture.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Because your bones are now brittle, because this is not a good thing to do to your body long term.
Has it stopped the hip fractures?
Obviously not, if the number's still continuing to grow, right? It's not something that really needs to be a long-term issue. It really is not, but that's obviously great for the profits over at Merck, for it to be a long-term thing. And then there's also a whole other thing called jawbone death.
That is terrifying.
Oh, here's what happens with that. Because of the bones not remodeling, the bones in your jaw will actually get to the point where if you have some kind of dental surgery or if you have to have a tooth pulled or something, it will not heal. You'll get these sores in your mouth that do not heal. And even if you stop taking the bisphosphonate, it still doesn't go away. It doesn't get any worse, but it doesn't go away. So you're left with this open sore where the bone is exposed and the bone is not healing. It never goes anywhere. It's there forever, and you just have to deal with it. And it's horrible. It's murderously painful, and it's miserable. And there's nothing that can be done about it. And there's major class actions on that, too. You can look that up. I encourage you to Google that and really get into the details of that. And none of it's doing any good. That's the thing that just frustrates the living daylights out of me, is we're spending billions of dollars. Boniva is one of the top 20 prescribed drugs in America. It's a gajillion-dollar industry, these bisphosphonates.
And you get someone like Sally Fields, you know.
You think Sally knows about all this? I don't think so.
I don't know if she does or not. It doesn't matter. But she's the kind of figure that we trust because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we love Sally Field.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would say if you have very severe osteoporosis, if you've got a very severe problem and it's really, really bad, then I can see where they could help you. but I wouldn't want to stay on it forever. It would only be an extreme case that you could convince me to take it. I mean, you would have to prove to me that my hip's going to fracture if you bump against me tomorrow, you know, before I would be willing to take
but
one of
them. But if this just makes it more brittle, it might do that tomorrow anyhow. It would be a last-ditch effort. It would have to be last-ditch.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, but on the other hand, and I think this is really important, and I know you've got this wonderful 18-page document that goes into the story in depth that people can read it at their leisure. I think that we need to let people know that there is hope and there is something that we as women can do to strengthen ourselves. And can you talk a little bit about that, what it is and how it's different? And I don't even know if you know about this, but how did they come across this formula? I know that Mercola talks about it and other important alternative health people talk about it too. But can you talk a little bit about the fact that we do have some hope here?
Yes, there is a form of calcium that is better absorbed and utilized by your body. Most calcium supplements contain either calcium carbonate or calcium citrate, and those are two different forms of calcium. It all starts with calcium carbonate, but you do some chemical processes to it to make it a slightly different formation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chelating agent, citric acid, that you add to the calcium carbonate that makes calcium citrate, and this is what you find in Citrical and those. Now, Citrical will tell you on their website that their calcium has unsurpassed absorption, which is an absolute lie. Calcium citrate malate, and we call it citramate for short, is you take the calcium citrate and you add another agent to it, which is called malic acid. It's a chelating agent. That makes your calcium 30% more absorbable than citrate alone.
I have looked it up. You know, after we talked, I went and looked up. If you look up calcium citramate, which is C-I-T-R-A-M-A-T-E,
and it's the safest. This is the only one that has been shown to reduce the risk of kidney stones. One of the problems you get when you have that sludge in your blood is that it gets filtered out by your kidneys. And so that's one reason why calcium supplements are often associated with kidney stones. Well, this form has actually been shown, and I can point you to the exact study, to reduce the risk of stone-forming potential, they called it. No other form of calcium can say that. So if you do nothing else after hearing this, take a calcium supplement. You need to take one, but take one in the form of calcium citrate malate or calcium citramate. That in and of itself is going to put you ahead of the game as far as what you're taking. Calcium has what they call cofactors. The body can't really just use calcium all by itself. There's some other things that it has to have to be effective.
It's like a partnership. It works better in a partnership.
Exactly. It's dependent upon these other factors to work in your body, okay? Vitamin D, we've all heard of that. Everybody knows you got to take vitamin D with your calcium. You need to have your vitamin D in the form of D3 because that's the most bioavailable form. If you take it in vitamin D2, it's not going to do as much for you. You cannot even get calcium out of your intestines into your bloodstream without vitamin D. It's essential for that. Vitamin D2 is what's in most supplements out there. You have to look for one that specifically says D3 because D3 is what's formed when your body is exposed to sunlight, and so it's much more difficult to produce. It has to come from some living creature somehow. The best way to get it is from like lanolin from sheep, but nonetheless, D2 comes from plants in a supplement form, so it's just not as well absorbed. The D in your milk is D2.
You know what's really interesting about that? I could see somebody telling a story about, oh, G2, you know, it's from plants, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't mean it's the right form.
Exactly. It is not as bioavailable. And I have spoken to someone who was like a very strict vegan and
yes,
who, for like religious purposes, could not put anything animal-derived into her body. And she's like, you know, I hate this. And she's really conflicted because she sees that the D2 is not doing anything for her. It's not as good for you. It just does not work as well. And even she recognized that. She knew that it was a sacrifice that she was making. So you must have D3 and a pretty significant amount of it. You need magnesium. Magnesium is one of the things that helps calcium get from your blood to your bone. It's crucial for that. You need to have the right ratio of calcium to magnesium because they kind of fight for absorption. You need to have 2 parts calcium to 1 part magnesium. It needs to be a 2-to-1 ratio for it to be optimally absorbed. You need to have vitamin C. First of all, for its antioxidant properties, vitamin C is just an awesome thing to take anyway. But as far as bone health, vitamin C is crucial for the creation of collagen and for some of the cells that create bone growth. It's utilized for that. C So it's part of what helps keep your bones supple and not brittle.
So that's kind of the connective tissue type thing.
Right. So that's crucial for you. Then you need vitamin K.
That's another miracle supplement that we're only just learning about.
Oh, vitamin K is the most awesome thing. But it is crucial. It is the cornerstone to this whole issue. When the proteins that move calcium around in your body use vitamin K to grab the calcium. It's like the chemical that it uses to bind to the calcium in your body. So your body cannot pick the calcium up and move it from your blood to your bone and use it in your bone without vitamin K. It just doesn't happen.
So it's sort of a catalyst.
Yes, exactly. Also, there have been studies on vitamin K that, okay, remember we talked about the whole problem is that the sludge stays in your arteries and it hardens your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've been taking Citracal, for example, and you have built up some existing calcification in your arteries,
mm-hmm.
vitamin K at a high enough dose has been found in a study in the Netherlands to clean away existing calcification of your arteries by up to 37% in as little as 6 weeks.
Wow, that's awesome.
So,
and, you know, listen to what you even said. It's called calcification.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens if you have the wrong form of calcium in your body. You calcify your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
That's just amazing.
Again, if you do nothing else, take calcium citrate. Take it with D. Take it with magnesium. Take it with C. Definitely take it with K. And the K needs to be in the form of K2. There are several different forms of K as well. K2 is the most effective. So the last thing that you need to have lysine. And most people, if they've heard of lysine at all, it's an amino acid. They've heard of it in relation to cold sores.
Right.
So if you get a cold sore, you take extra lysine. It can help it go away faster. Well, lysine also is very critical to the absorption of calcium in your body. Studies have shown that it helps it to absorb faster. It helps it to absorb more, and it also reduces the amount that's excreted in your urine. They're not sure how exactly, but somehow it's keeping it out of your kidneys and it's keeping it out of your urine. It helps protect you from kidney stones, or it should, theoretically. They didn't say that specifically in the science, so I don't want to overstep, but that's the logical conclusion.
That's the implication, right.
Right. Also, it also helps to stimulate the cells that build bone in your body. You need lysine, you need vitamin K, you need vitamin C, you need magnesium, you need vitamin D2, and you need calcium in the form of calcium citrate.
And, you know, what's really interesting about that also is that the Linus Pauling Foundation has a heart health formula that incorporates lysine and vitamin C and a couple of other things, which goes hand in hand with what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, about decalcifying and strengthening at the same time and creating flexible organs and muscles. So
now we looked all over for a calcium supplement that would have this in it, that would have this formula and in the right amounts and all of this, and we couldn't find it. It does not exist, or it did not exist. We were really frustrated because I personally, aside from being a woman, that all women need to take calcium, right? I have some other health issues that I need to take a calcium supplement for other reasons as well. I wanted this, and it did not exist. So we actually worked with a manufacturer. This is the only time we've ever done this. We worked with a manufacturer and had one created.
All
now,
in the exact proportions that are recommended.
Exactly. So you can learn about that on our website if you're interested. I'm not going to spend time on that right now because the main thing I want people to take away is I want them to, you don't have to buy it from us. I don't want to make this a sales pitch. I don't. I desperately want you to do something about this information, though. Look into it more. We have a report that I'd like for you to download and read. It's completely free. You don't have to do anything to get it. I'm not even going to ask for your email address if you get the report. I just want you to get it. I want you to read it, and I want you to spread it around and tell people because women's lives are at stake, and that's the bottom line. You can die from the bisphosphonates. You can die from osteoporosis. You can die from the heart attack from the calcium supplements. All of these things can kill you. So please do something with this information.
How do they get to the report?
Where we post this podcast for them to listen to, there will be a link.